Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the gospel lesson appointed for this Sunday. We hear once again from the 15th chapter of Luke. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." This is God's word. It turns out the Pharisees and scribes were right. Let me explain. In the reading that we just heard, the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man, Jesus, receives sinners and eats with them." It was the type of grumbling that was meant to be overheard. The type of grumbling that was meant to get back to the person at whom it was directed. They wanted to send the message they were opposed to this activity. Filled with self-righteous indignation, they say to all who will listen, "Jesus eats with sinners." They're right. He does. In their eyes, Jesus' choice of dining partners invalidated any claim he had on being a teacher of the people. How could somebody who claimed to speak for God then go and hang out with the scum of society? The people he shared a table with weren't even trying to live righteous lives. Respectable rabbis just did not do this. Doesn't this young man, from Nazareth of all places, realize how scandalous this all looks? He receives sinners and eats with them. That is correct. It's what he does. The Pharisees had this one peg. Jesus did indeed take lunch with the lowlifes and sup with the social misfits. He knew all about the tax collectors' methods of legal extortion. He was well aware of the reputation of the women of the evening that he sat down at the table with. He had no problem approaching the people whose physical diseases made them ritually unclean and socially outcast. There was something seriously wrong. But it wasn't Jesus. What was wrong was the attitude of quote-unquote religious people. What was wrong and what is wrong is when people who really ought to know better take a look around and think to themselves, "Well, at least I'm not as bad as her or him." What's wrong is when people who like to come across as very devout also categorize people based on race, or economic standing, or education, as if labeling them makes it all right to criticize or ignore them. It's not Jesus who is the problem. The problem is the human tendency to invent traditions and regulations and organizations that have nothing to do with Jesus and everything to do with making people look good and feel better. Contributing to this problem is the fact that we are wired for an us versus them mentality, and we can even dress it up in a way that seems to be virtuous. And as long as we hang on to attitudes like these, we will never really take a seat with Jesus at the table. Why would we? Jesus eats with sinners. And if I believe deep down that I'm not that flawed, or worse, that I'm better than others, why would I want a spot at the sinner's table? The idea is embarrassing, if not downright offensive. But here's the catch. The Pharisees and scribes were right when they said Jesus receives sinners. If you're looking for him, that's where you're going to find him. Among the sinners. In response to his accusers, Jesus told a story about a shepherd who goes looking for the one lost sheep. And the kingdom value in that story is pretty obvious. Jesus, the good shepherd, is looking for the lost, the broken, the fearful, the selfish, the isolated. He's looking for anyone who's been humbled down to the point where they say, I don't have anything to give you, Lord. I can't come to you on the basis of my goodness because there isn't any. That's who Jesus has come searching for. Not the self-righteous, but for the one who's given up on self as a way of getting to God. It's precisely for the person who's made a mess of everything and owns that fact and doesn't deny that fact that Jesus has come. If that's the outward state of your life, or if that's just the secret condition of your heart today, there's fantastic news for you. The Pharisees were right on this point. Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. Jesus will never shrink away from you because of what you've done. He will not exclude you because of who you are. When you come to Jesus saying, Lord, have mercy, when you return to him with this prayer on your lips and in your heart, you are fully and finally ready to hear him say, with authority, your sins are forgiven. Because of me, do you know how far your sins are removed from you as far as the east is from the west? Your sins have been dealt with, not excused, but dealt with, paid for. The punishment they deserve has been handled by Jesus himself. And in the court of God's justice, you are found and declared not guilty. Because Jesus took your sentence on himself. The Lord is merciful. He shows mercy to those who realize that their place at his table, their relationship to him, their life in his kingdom is not a reward for good behavior. It is 100% a gift. It all depends on God not repaying us in proportion to what our sins deserve. That payment fell on Jesus in his suffering and death. So, if you have been brought low by sin and failure, come and have a seat. So that his forgiveness could be sent to you today, Jesus sets a table in His church, so that His pardon could reach you. He offers His body and pours His blood out for you to eat and to drink, so that you could know the joy of fellowship with the Son of God. He brings you to His supper, where you are treated as an honored guest. More mercy could hardly be shown. So, score one for the Pharisees. They were right. Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. This is our hope and our confidence. Would you please pray with me? I, a sinner, come to Thee with a penitent confession. Savior, mercy show to me. Grant for all my sins remission. Let these words my soul relieve. Jesus sinners doth receive. Amen.